2 Corinthians chapter 5. Well, you know, as usual, I come this morning dependent upon the Lord to minister to us. If you haven't heard last week's yet, you need to go online and listen to that if you haven't, because that was a pretty radical message about love. And to say I was stirred up is an understatement. Amen. I don't know if this will be so stirring up this morning or not, but we'll see what happens. Amen. How many are glad to see what happens? Amen. Just open your heart to the Lord. Just lift your hands to the Lord this morning with me. And we all know that you're not going to get much if you get me. We're believing the Lord. You get the Lord this morning, that the Lord will speak. And Father, I open my heart, my spirit, as we all do. We open our hearts and our minds and our spirits. Everybody say, I open my heart, my mind, and my spirit to hear thus saith the Lord. Lord, speak to our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. And I voice a prayer for myself that I yield myself to the Lord this morning and that I won't speak what I choose, but I'll speak, Lord, what you choose to speak through my heart this morning. Let it be, Lord, that which would come to divide to the very joint, the very marrow, and the very intents of our heart, that we may become more formed in perfection and righteousness in your image through this word that's spoken today. Amen. I really applaud you guys because I know a lot of you have been pressing into the word lately, and that's part of the process that we've been encouraging to do, to go and listen to the word of the Lord and let that speak to you individually and let it create in you what God wants to produce in you through it. And remember, 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago it was, I talked about four things. I talked about perfecting you, establishing you, strengthening you, and settling you. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Say, I'm glad I'm settled in the Lord. That's a good word to go back. The next week was, I talked about four things out of the book of Zephaniah. And those were obedience, receive correction. And who wants to receive correction? Say amen.
Amen.
Now you're lying. I know you don't. Nobody wants to receive correction. Obedience, correction. What was the third one? Trusting the Lord. And the fourth one was draw near. Amen. So you get those eight things, you're perfected. You can, if you really get those eight things, never come back to church again because you've got it all. You won't ever need anything else. Just be pleased with what you have. Amen. And then last week I talked about the royal law. I called it the royal law, and it's actually the royal law of love or of liberty. But they, of course, those things go hand in hand. And I'm kind of kicking off of that a little bit this morning, but I'm praying the Lord will direct me as I speak today because I want there to be a concise revelation to our heart of some specific things the Lord is telling us today. And I want to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I believe we touched on this last week, this particular passage. But I want to kind of start in this today because I want to talk to you about this great principle of the separation between the flesh and the spirit. And we know that when Christ came, he brought through his sacrifice, through his cross experience, he brought to us the spirit of God to the earth. And it's only through Christ in that we can become what we call born again. How many believe in the born again experience? And if you're not born again, if you've never had this regenerative presence of God come into your life to where you've actually been transformed in your spiritual man, you know it, then I encourage you this morning to reach into the Lord because he wants that for everyone. It's God's will that every man be saved. It's God's will that all of us able to see the kingdom of God. Unless a man is born again, he cannot view or see the kingdom of God. Because it's only by the Spirit that we can actually see and understand the things of God. It's only by the Spirit can we only see and understand the things of God. Because when we are walking in the flesh, we cannot hear the voice of God. We cannot see the things that God does. And we look at it, God, through a different lens than when we see Him by the Spirit. Because it's only by the Spirit do we know Him. Why is that? God is a spirit. Everybody say, God is a spirit. And Jesus said to the woman, He said, God is a spirit, and you must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And a lot of people want to leave the spirit out and just focus on the truth. But you know, the Bible said the letter of the law, or the letter even of the word, kills. But the Spirit of God gives life. So we understand that it's important to acquire knowledge from the Word of God, because knowledge brings us into the place or positions us to receive wisdom. Knowledge leads to wisdom. So knowledge is important, but knowledge without the Spirit is something that actually becomes counterproductive of what we're becoming. Because then we're going to be moving and evaluating things according to the flesh and not according to the Spirit. And we live in this world, of the flesh world, but we're not of this flesh world. We're of a different world. Because the first Adam came and he introduced to the world sin, right? He was a fleshly man. And flesh sins, because flesh can do nothing else but sin. Is that correct? If you're in the flesh, you're in sin. Because sin, we don't define sin in the sense that we categorize which sin is greater than the other. And I mentioned that this last week. And it's important to realize this, because when we start looking at sin, we realize that even the lack of faith is sin. So this first man, Adam, came and he was a sinful man and introduced sin to the world. But the second man was a life-giving spirit. His name was Jesus. Amen? He didn't come to redeem the flesh necessarily. He came to create something brand new. He came to create a kingdom that's called an unseen kingdom, because the things of the Spirit, you cannot observe the things of the Spirit with the natural mind or understand the things of the Spirit with the natural mind, because spiritual things cannot be judged or cannot be measured by the flesh. This becomes the conflict that we all face, is that we live in a fleshly body, but yet we've been regenerated, we've been born again as a spiritual person. That creates a conflict, doesn't it? Because we have two sets of laws working within us at the same time. Remember Paul in Romans chapter 7, he said that there's this great conflict in me. One minute I want to do good, but I do bad. And there's this conflict that was always waging war within his body. How many have ever had a little bit of warfare raging in you? On one hand, you know what the Spirit of God is saying to you. But on the other hand, you're doing just the opposite. Hello? Can everybody agree with that? Amen. How many live with that every day? The flesh warreth against the Spirit. The natural mind is an enmity against God. It does not want to please God in any way. In fact, the natural mind always chooses the path that's most convenient and the most fulfilling for itself. Oftentimes in total diametric contrast with what the Spirit of God is leading.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
So where is our enemy? Right here. The greatest enemy that God has to overcome is us. Not the devil. The devil's already been defeated. The Bible said that Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. So we don't give heedance or give credence to the fact that the devil has any control or authority over us whatsoever. Amen. Everybody say, the devil has no control over me. He's no authority over me. And I am not controlled by, dominated by him.
Amen.
Amen. So the greatest enemy that God has to overcome is called the natural man. The man that resists doing the things that God is creating in him. So we become our own worst enemy, don't we? Because it's simple. It really is. Wow, this is simple. Just once you yield yourself and once you die to yourself, then you allow the Spirit of God to operate freely through you. That should be simple, right? Everybody say, this is simple Christianity. The moment you die to yourself, Paul said, I die every day. I mean, isn't it? That's kind of a strange thing. Every morning he wakes up and says, oh, Lord, here I am. I'm dying today. How does that go over? You know what I mean? That's something you want to put on the sign out in front of the church. We die every day. Come on in. We welcome all you visitors. We're going to kill you today. This is a bloody, bloody religion, Christianity, because every day you're dying. Every day I decrease. Every day I become less important to myself, less ambitious, less desirous of the things of this world. Every day, everything in the world gets dimmer and the kingdom of God gets brighter. The flesh warreth against the spirit. The carnal mind is an enmity against God. Now, that isn't going to give you a license to strike your neighbor next to you and terminate him. Amen. Sometimes you like to do that, right? Let's just terminate a few people and make everything better. If we could just get rid enough of people that we don't agree with, everything in this world would be better. Right? We should just eliminate anyone that has a contrary thought to ours because we want to have a pure race. No. Woo. See, there's not a right way and a wrong way. There's only one way. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. So whatever my opinion, whatever kind of opinion it is, derived from whatever source it is really irrelevant. In light of the gospel of truth, the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Whew. Now I can breathe. It's all over now, right? Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Knowing therefore, verse 11, the terror of the Lord. We persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciousness. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to glory on our behalf, that you may have something to answer those who glory in appearance and not in their heart. Aren't you glad that we're a part of something that the Lord is not allowing us to glory in who we are? Aren't you glad that you're a part of a people that refuse to show partiality and to lift up and edify the egos of men? Aren't you glad you're part of something that is birthing in humility something that's pure upon the earth? Have we reached purity yet? No. But are we reaching for that purity?
Yes.
Right. Because we're refusing to commend ourselves or to build ourselves up and to make ourselves something to show the world, because we know that what we show the world in ourselves offers them little or nothing. But what we want them to see is a treasure in an earthen vessel that's being revealed to the earth. We want them to see the essence of God birthing in us, so that when they see us, they don't see us any longer, but they see him. Wow. Look at those people. They've been with Jesus. We better call them Christians. That's where Christianity comes from, isn't it? They call them Christians at first at Antioch because they were Christ-like. They were a reflection of the nature of God in their life. Wow.
Amen.
Welcome, live stream. Lorena's watching this morning. Hi, Lorena. Bless you. You better be watching. You said you would be. Yeah. They glory in their appearance, not in their heart. For we are beside ourselves. It is for God. If we are of sound mind, it's for you. If we're beside ourselves, it's for God. How many have ever wondered about this crazy guy up here? Sometimes I get beside myself. Sometimes I get out of myself. Sometimes I actually blow a gasket. Well, the pastor blew a gasket this morning. He was over the top. Well, it's not because I pre-planned being over the top. Believe me, I'm a shy person. How many believe that? Okay. I'm a shy person. I'm a withdrawn person. I'd just soon be a loner. But here, I got to come in front of you guys and blow gaskets because I'm beside myself because of him. How else can I be when I think about this wonderful Jesus who gave his life for me, who redeemed me, who brought me out of a pit, brought me out of my sin, brought me out of my fear, brought me out of my disillusionment, brought me out of all the things that I wasn't to give me something that no man could buy with any price. How could I be anything but beside myself? Wow. It's motivated me for 48 years. Since I met Jesus, it's been a motivation ever since. And Sue will tell you that I'm about as worthless as you could be at times, but she's always seen me pop back up with a heart for God. I'm beside myself for this Lord, for this Christ who gave his life for me. It might sound like old order stuff, but give me the old order. If the new order tells you anything different. Amen? Well, Paul said, I'll find it. We're beside ourselves, it's for God. If we're of sound mind, it's for you. For the love of Christ constrains us. Because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all. That those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one. Because of this, because of this Christ that died, now we regard no one according to the flesh. Jesus Christ died for every person that's ever lived on this planet. He said, I didn't come to judge the world, but I came to save it. I don't know how we in Christianity got those things so backwards that all of a sudden, because we become religious, we feel like we become the judges of the world. And so we start measuring people according to our standard. If they don't meet our standard, then they're not in God's standard, obviously, right? So we take whole segments of the population and we ostracize them because they don't meet our standard. I talked to, you know, I'm not going to repeat some of the things I said last week. Go back and listen to the message. I know some preachers that would ostracize me for some of the things I said last week. Because, see, we don't understand that when we're in the flesh, we're in the place of judgment. Because we're not seeing by the Spirit. People that judge want to conform everyone to their image. Not to Christ's image, but to their image. Judgment is so horrendous that it literally locks the door for the mercy and the grace of God to be seen by those that are being judged. And we use the old phrase all the time, yeah, but. Don't you understand? That's pretty gross people over there. Yeah, but what? Christ died for them. Would you be willing to die for them? That answers the big question right there, doesn't it? You wouldn't want me to go die for those people. Look how foul they are. Well, Christ did. He died for them. Thank God he's not asking me to die for them, but he's asking me to give to them an extension of love, to give them the royal law. For it said, this is the royal law, that you will love your neighbors as yourself. So when you can love someone the way Christ loved you, you fulfill the royal law. You'll receive a crown from God. He's looking for someone on this earth to love people the way he loved them. He's looking for a people that can love one another that greatly. Understanding that the law of love is the greatest law of all. It says that in 1 John, you know, it's so beautiful. Scripture says that when we're in the light that God has given us, when we're walking in this spirit of the Lord, that we too should love one another. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and if it had not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. It goes on to say, who does not ever practice righteousness is not of God. Nor is he who does not love his brother. Amen. This is a message that you've heard from the very beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was wicked one and he murdered his brother, but we should love one another. Wow. But how do we do this love when all we can see is the judgment? We understand that what Christ is forming in us has the ability to overcome what was formed in us in our old nature. Amen. The flesh. Amen. The flesh will not prevail in us, but the Spirit of God will prevail in us. And what does it take? What transitions us? First of all, you've got to be born again. That's a given, right? But once this Christ is in you, how can this Christ be released through you? That becomes the greatest challenge of all, doesn't it? Why am I keep manifesting this judgment and this criticism and this bitterness and this anger and this strife and all these things coming out of my mouth? Why are they still there? And not the word of the Lord, this beautiful word of reconciliation coming out of me. Why is that not happening? Well, there's some steps we can take, right? The first step you take is that you bring your heart to the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to circumcise my heart. Circumcision is not a pleasant experience. Thank God I have no remembrance of that, but I would assume it's not a pleasant experience, because circumcision requires taking something away that's been hiding what God wants to reveal. And so when the heart is circumcised, it requires that we allow the Lord to take away the things out of our heart that are resisting God, that's become a stumbling block to us, so that Christ can be revealed. That's why Paul said, I'm going through all these things. I've been shipwrecked, I've been beaten, I've been perplexed on every side, I've been naked, I've been poor, I've been hungry. All these things that have been happening to me, the suffering that I'm going through, none of this is worthy to be compared to this glory that's about to be revealed through me. Because all these things that I've gone through serve the purpose of revealing the Christ that's in me. Now, you can do like what I've done many times, have my little pity party when I'm going through things and I don't reveal anything but some yucky. How many know what a yucky is, right? Or you can be like what I hope to do when I'm going through these things is I yield my heart to the Lord. And it said, I said 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, I believe it was, the sufferings, these present sufferings that we go through serve to perfect us, establish us, strengthen us, and settle us. But most of all, they serve to release His glory through us if we approach it the right way. See, the cross will do one of two things to you. It'll either liberate you into the most glorious freedom that you could even imagine, or it'll embitter you and cause you to withdraw into your own self. The pain, when pain comes, we either embrace the pain or we let the pain destroy us. I choose to embrace it. Paul said, I glory. This, get this, I glory in the cross. I rejoice in the cross that's before me because this is my life. This is what I am. And this is what I'm becoming. Wow. Chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, verse 1, therefore we have this ministry as we've received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we've renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully. How many know that one of the greatest sins that you can commit is deceitfully handling the word of God? It's bending the word of God to your mindset or to your will and justifying your action. And we've seen that rampant in the body of Christ in recent years. How we've twisted the word and we've taken the power of the gospel and diluted it and taken the cross completely out of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and edified the spirit of man over the edification of the Christ who died for us. It's a sin. Lord, we repent of the deceitfulness. Everybody say it with me. I repent of being deceitfully led by my own mind and not by the Spirit of the Lord. The Bible said those that are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Hallelujah. Whew. Oh. My. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, at least the light. Get this. This is what you need. The light. Everybody say, we need the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God and should shine upon them. Lord, we're praying this morning that the image of God would shine in the midst of us, that there'd be a Christ revealed in the midst of our hearts this morning. Mm. Oh. Mm. For we do not preach ourselves, but we preach Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the exceeding excellence of the power may be of God, not of us. Lord, we cry out for the exceeding greatness of your power, the excellence of the knowledge of who you are. Wow. Paul goes on to say, we're hard pressed on every side. Let me ask you this morning, have you been hard pressed times in your life? How many are a little hard pressed this morning? I am. Yet we're not crushed. We're perplexed. How many have been a little perplexed? How many might have some perplexion on you this morning, right? But we're not destroyed. We're always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I want to make a confession. I probably feel very dead this morning, but I feel so alive at the same time. Wow. Do you think I would take any amount of money, any amount of fame, any amount of recognition, and trade any of that for this? One moment in the presence of God is greater than the treasures of man, the kingdoms of man. Hallelujah. Caring about this body, that Jesus may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also manifest in our mortal flesh. Somehow this, when Christ came, said this word that was with God became and dwelt among us and became flesh. That word we know is Jesus. The Spirit, see, Jesus took on flesh. He was a spirit. See, God is a spirit, right? So we have the Father, we have the Son, we have the Holy Spirit, we have this Trinity. We have these three people, but they're all one because they're all one spirit. Guess what? Mary, Jane, John, Doe, whoever you may be out there, you're all individuals, but if you're in this, you're one spirit. We're one people in the Lord. We have one spirit. We have one heart. We have one mind. So we're not individuals. We're one. Yet we can manifest as an individual. Amen. How many of you husbands are glad your wife is still manifesting as an individual? How many of you wives wonder sometimes if your husband's... Never mind. We're one spirit. That's why when I'm in this house with you guys, I feel like I'm having this incredible experience of oneness. That's why every time I see you, I want to cry. And not for the obvious reasons, but I want to cry because I love you. I love you because we're one spirit, not because your flesh is so wonderful. Not because I look at you and say, look at how much they've accomplished, what they've done, who they are, and what they say. No, but I see your spirit and it says, we now know no man, no man after the flesh, but after the spirit. And if I'm one with you in spirit, I cannot judge you. Mercy triumphs over judgment. When I see you, all I want to do is have mercy and grace and love. I want to hold you and tell you I love you like crazy, not because you've impressed me with your offerings or you've impressed me with your giftings or you impressed me with your ministry, because we're one in the Spirit. That's why I love you so much. That I want to take that and take it to the world. I want the world to see this. But it said the world is going to know who he is because they see the love that we have for one another because we're one spirited. People that are one with you cannot leave you. Did you know that? But people that aren't one with you can't stay with you. People often say, well, man, we should have a packed out house. Well, believe me, I'm believing for that. But it's hard to get people to embrace oneness and dying to self. It's a challenge to say, okay, you aren't going to come here to get recognized. You may get recognized, right? You're not going to come here to get rich. You're not going to come here to get more faith and to become some mighty man of God. You're coming here to become part of this Christ. That's not so alluding. That doesn't really allure us that much, does it? If it's not because we're coming here because we want this, no, we're coming here because we're becoming the Christ. Amen. It has a whole different smell to it, doesn't it? Amen. It's called the fragrance of God. Wow. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Verse 11. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. But since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, everybody say, that grace, having spread through the many. Wow. Lord, take out your big butter knife this morning and spread that grace all over your people. Mm. Man. Woo. May cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we don't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Amen. Lord, let my inward man be renewed day by day. It says in Romans 8, chapter 1, verse 1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk according to the Spirit and not by the flesh. There's two things that stop the Spirit of God working through you is judgment and condemnation. Judgment is when you point outwardly, and condemnation is when you point inwardly. Because see, you are not, if you're born again this morning, you are not of the flesh. You are of the Spirit. Now your flesh might be acting up and having its own little party out there and trying to do its own thing. Forget about it. You're not of the flesh. You're of the Spirit. So if you're of the Spirit, you're not going to judge the world. You're going to save the world, and you're not going to condemn yourself.
Amen.
Yeah, but I did. I sinned. I have to condemn myself. No, you don't. Because your flesh is separate from your spirit. It doesn't give yourself a license to sin in the flesh, but it gives you the opportunity to let the flesh die and let the Spirit live. When you sin, you have an advocate with the Father through Jesus Christ. And if you'll confess your sin, he's faithful and just to cleanse you from your sin and all unrighteousness. You don't have to walk in 1 minute of condemnation for your failure. Your faith always keeps turning back to God. Even when your flesh wants to turn away, you turn back in the spirit. Amen? Amen. You do not let the shortcomings or the inadequacies or the things that you've come up short in destroy your relationship to God, because it's not valid. The Spirit of God that's in you is greater than anything in the world around you, including yourself. Amen. Christ is greater in you. Say, everybody say, Christ is great in me. He's triumphant in me. He's victorious in me. He's mighty in me. I will not be condemned, nor will I judge, because now I know no man after the flesh, even myself. Amen. And by the Spirit, the Bible says, by the Spirit, we're putting to death the deeds of the flesh.
Amen.
Chop, chop. Lord, send angels with machetes and put to death the deeds of the flesh. Amen. Amen. Oh, my God, I'm such a sinner. Quit saying that. Start saying, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Not with some mental assent. I mean, you've got to get into this stuff. You've got to really put yourself in this. You've got to let this dying process take place in your life. And every day you're dying. But every day you're living. Yeah. Amen. Woo. I'm wrapping up. Some of you got faith for that, right? For our light affliction, verse 17, chapter 4, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Everybody say, weight of glory. For we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporary. How many have noticed in life that all those bad things that you've gone through, all those horrible things you've experienced, all those disappointing times you've encountered, they all were temporary? And you were just fretting like crazy. I mean, you were calling your neighbors and said, my God, the world's coming to an end. And then it's temporary. It's kind of like the news cycle today, isn't it? I mean, do you hate the news cycle? I do. Because, I mean, it's one crisis to the next. Monday we got a crisis. Tuesday we got a new crisis. They forgot about Monday's crisis. Wednesday they got a whole new crisis. And so Monday and Tuesday are in the back. So every day there's a new crisis in the news cycle, because everything that comes in this world is temporary. Amen. And so we shouldn't pay any more attention to it than it deserves. Temporary news does not deserve our attention. Amen. Eternal truth deserves our attention. Yes. Amen? Right? Don't be swayed by the things of this world, because it'll try to disillusion you and take you out of your position of being in the Spirit. But you keep walking in the Spirit. It says, the things which are not seen are eternal. So Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm the Lord God who changeth not. All my confidence is in Him. So Lord, I'm not going to judge. I'm not going to condemn. I'm going to let the suffering that I go through separate the flesh from the spirit. See, your weakness, believe it or not, your weakness is your greatest strength and your greatest opportunity to become an overcomer. You will not succeed through strength, intellect, or your own wisdom or the wisdom of this world. But you'll only succeed through your own humility and weakness and brokenness. And the things that you suffer will only serve the purpose of God if you let them. to bring glory and honor to his name. Amen? So weakness is your greatest strength. Lord, help me to know you in the spirit. Help me to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, help me and put in my heart to know these people, this wonderful people. Let me know them by your spirit. Amen? And let me see in the world out there, everyone that you're connecting to you. And let me be the reconciler that connects them to the Father. Let me help introduce them, Lord, to you, that they may see Christ in me, that they may see Christ in us, the hope of glory, that he may be revealed through us. In Jesus' name, amen.